Turn your Bibles, will, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we'll take a look at this portion here this morning in our consideration of the kingdom and aspects of the kingdom. We've touched upon this passage when we talked about that the kingdom of God has come unto us. The kingdom of God has come unto you. That's the message that's in the scripture, and those verses are contained here. But there's some other things here that we want to look at this morning and glean from this. You pray that the Lord will bless us together and that we just might hear from the Lord, see what it is that's here in His Word, and the Lord just might touch us all and touch our hearts and our minds and just bless us in this. And we might worship the Lord in it. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 22, let's pick it up here. And the scripture says in Matthew 12, 22, "Then was brought unto him," that is Jesus, "one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" Verse 24, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Verse 25, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges." Verse 28, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you, Father, for the blessing of it. We thank you, Father, that you've made a day wherein you've commanded us and blessed us with that we can meet together with your people, Father, we that you've saved, we that you've taken and put here at Olmsted Baptist Church and placed in this church, Father, to meet together to worship you. Help us that we would worship you. We thank you for the way you've blessed in the services already. We thank you for your good word, as Brother Doug brought it forth to us and the teachers in their classes. Thank you, Father, for it. We thank you for the singing, for the prayers that are offered up. And we pray for all these on the prayer list, Father, that you just would work. Lord, they need you. We need you, Father. We pray that you would just help and bless and work in every need. Again, help us that the thoughts of the world and the thoughts of life, the cares of the past week, the things that we have planned and scheduled for the coming week, all those things, Father, of this life, Lord, help us lay all that aside. Help us to focus upon you and your word and the truth of it. And Lord, speak to us through it. We desire to worship you. We desire to receive a blessing from you in it. And we pray, Father, that you would minister unto us. For those that are here and not saved, Father, we pray that they might have the greatest need that they have met today in Jesus Christ. Lord, save them. Help us to be a good witness unto them. And Lord, that they might see Jesus precious to the salvation of their souls. Help now, we pray and bless. Bless with your word. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here we have in this passage, there's a thing that's starting here with the Pharisees or the religious leadership of the day. And we're going to see by some other passages with some others that they've taken up this position. This, verse 24, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." That's a thing that's being rumored, that's being told. It's kind of like from the notes that they want to operate from and they've chosen to operate from. I want you to turn over here to Mark chapter 3. Take a look over here at this passage. We're going to read this and another passage in Luke 11. If you've got some ribbons in your Bible or some papers, you might want to put something there. We're going to refer back to these occasionally as we go through this passage in Matthew. But let's read this here in Mark chapter 3, verse number 22. Let's see what it says. Here it said the Pharisees heard what Jesus had done in healing this man, and he healed him so well that the blind saw and the dumb did speak. Look what it says here in Mark chapter 3, verse 22. "And the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." And so here, not only is it the Pharisees, and these aren't necessarily the same account, But this is their same dealing with this situation. Here it's the word of the scribes that the Lord does this. These are kind of like that they've developed these operating points, and this is the latest one that's come out that they're operating. Said, he doesn't cast out devils by the power of God, but he casts it out by the power of Satan. And that's what they're, so here the scribes are involved. Let's read on. Verse 23, and he called them unto him and said unto them in a parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if the kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Turn over here to Luke chapter 11. Let's read over here. In verse number 14, we pick it up. In Luke 11, 14, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, and the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. It's kind of like a lie that's been told, right? And it continues to be propagated. It continues to be told, and they're hoping to tell it enough to where people will buy into it and believe it. Okay, here it says, there's some that said this. And verse number 16, and others tempting him sought from of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, verse 19, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Verse 20, but if I with the finger of God, look at that, the finger of God is the Lord's testimony. If the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come unto you. Listen to this, verse 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh unto him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So here, three passages that speak along the same line, some of them mentioning different things in them. But we want to go back here to Matthew chapter 12 and use this as our, namely for our outline and our guide in the discussion of this. And I want us to see three or four points here that are so in the kingdom of the Lord, okay, in the kingdom of God. Back in Matthew chapter 12, the Lord, they brought this man to the Lord. He's blind, he can't see. He's dumb, he can't speak. The Lord healed him, it says in verse 23, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. Okay, so he healed him completely. That was the way of the Lord and the way that he does. When he heals completely. In the day of his ministry and those miraculous miracles that he worked, he did so. When he would touch the blind, when he would touch the dumb, when he would heal, it would be something always that could be seen or be known by someone physically, and the Lord healed immediately, and I believe he healed permanently, not like the faith healers so-called of the day. And so they were amazed, it says in verse 23, and then they said, well, isn't this the Son of David? Isn't this the Christ? You know, who's healed like this? And there in Matthew 12. The Pharisees saw it, and they said, nah, don't believe him. He's casting demons out by the prince of the demons. That's how he's doing it. We know the secret. We know his secret. And then the Lord takes this to them here, and he says in verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts. They're thinking this. They've been telling it otherwise. Remember, it's the scribes or other over there in Luke, scribes in Mark and other folks over there in Luke. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. First thing the Lord says here is, if Satan is casting out these demons, is he not working against himself? Isn't he working against the establishment and the future and the propagation of his kingdom? And the answer is yes. We've mentioned this in times past. You know, no army and no leader in an army that ever has any sense kills their own to try to deceive the enemy, to try to gain an advantage to the enemy. It's just not that way. First point that I want us to see this morning is this. Kingdoms are not divided against themselves. Kingdoms are not divided against themselves. Satan's kingdom is diabolically opposed to the kingdom of God. It is. And he's working everything that he can work to bring that kingdom to an end. You know what? The kingdom of the Lord is not divided either. So, Brother Jim, I know this one and that one and the other one. And, well, understand, anything that's good is from God and from the Lord. And who sets and establishes the way of the kingdom? Is it not our leader? It is the Lord, is it not, that establishes the way that this kingdom is to be? And so what do you and I need to find? And we've been blessed with it so greatly here. The Lord has saved us, and he's made us his own. He's shown us in the scripture about baptism in his church. He's showed us about the operation in his church and the doctrine that the Lord has given in his church. This is the way of the kingdom. Are we perfect in it? No, we're not. But the thing is the Methodist or the Catholic or the Presbyterian, right? Or the, I'll try to think of some others, the Christian church, the Church of God. They claim Christ, but then when we take a look at their doctrine, they go away from the doctrine of the kingdom, the doctrine of the Word of God. And they themselves, if they believe what their doctrine is and what they stand in, they're not part of the kingdom in the first place, are they? They're part of that other kingdom. Now, I'm not saying that there's not Methodists. I'm not saying that there's not Catholics. I'm not saying that there's not Presbyterians that aren't saved. But the only way that they're saved is through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the kingdom of the Lord is not divided. The marching orders of the Lord are very clear, found in his word. And we, as Baptists, we as the Lord's people that he saved and that hail from that first church there at Jerusalem, we are the front line and we are the ones given the marching orders of this kingdom. The reason I want to make that emphasis here this morning is that we understand what we've been given and what we've been called to. Understand the place. Well, Brother Jim, are you saying that someone that's saved but not in his church is not part of the kingdom? No, they're part of the kingdom. But in their salvation, they are with the doctrine and the way that the Lord has established, right? But in their not submitting to scriptural baptism, say, are they dividing the kingdom? No, they've just not accepted fully all those things of the kingdom. But that one that preaches, let's go and let's talk about the cults, Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, all the Asian cults and such as that, are they part of the kingdom? Not if they follow their doctrine. If they follow their doctrine, they're not. One that believes that water can save them is an enemy of the kingdom. Okay? And so therefore, being an enemy of the kingdom, they're part of that other working, are they not? Yeah, speaking directly against salvation is one way, and it's God's way and through His Son. And then the only other way that there is otherwise is the other way. Okay, I want to make that distinction here. The Lord says, if Satan is working against himself, then his kingdom never stands a chance to stand. But the thing is he's going to be working completely and diabolically against the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is going to stand, isn't it? It's going to stand. And so the first point that I want us to see and understand, there's no division in the Lord's kingdom. I want you to read over here in Ephesians chapter 4. Look what the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church of Ephesus, says present tense. Okay? He says this present tense in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, or that divine calling of the Lord, that divine invitation of the Lord. That's what that word vocation is talking about. And in here, there's this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. This is how the Great Commission is carried out, okay? He said, that you walk worthy wherewith you are called. Verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Because we're going to have need to forbear one another. But we need to keep our eye on the goal and be pressing towards that mark, towards that high calling of the Lord. Endeavoring, verse number 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to be unified by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by the working of God in us. We need to be unified by that and in that together to do what God has commanded us. Because we live in a wicked day. And we're the mouthpiece of God as His people and as His churches. And we need to tell the truth. We need to be a witness to sinners. And we need to be one that would tell those that are saved that how they need to follow the Lord and teach them the good way of the Lord in the church. We need to do those things. Because we are this instrument in the Lord's kingdom. Listen to what it says here, verse number 4. There is one body. There's not a couple bodies to please the Lord in. There's one body to please the Lord in. One. The Lord's church in our day. There is one Spirit. Not a multitude of spirits. Not a spirit that says this and then a spirit that says this contrary to it. But there's the Word of God that the Spirit takes and uses and brings and reaffirms continually in the Lord people. There's one Spirit. There's one kingdom. And there's one body in that kingdom, one Spirit in that kingdom. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, there's one vocation, there's one invitation, there's one calling. And that's through Christ alone, by Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to hear the Lord Jesus Christ and believe Him. Repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only hope you have of salvation. Water isn't going to save you. Joining the church isn't going to save you. What you can pay or promise isn't going to save you. There's one way of salvation in the kingdom. And that's through Christ alone. One Lord. Amen? One Lord, one Savior. One Son. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God the Son. They don't believe that. And they won't be saved believing in that Jesus. They won't. They won't be. They won't be saved going on and not receiving that He is the Son of God, I believe. What it goes on here, one faith. There's one faith. Not a multitude. Well, we're all going to the same place. Not unless you're going by the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? See, there's just one aim of the of this kingdom. One baptism. And the way that it's done and what it's for. And by whom it's administered to and by whom it's administered. Amen? One purpose for it. Any other baptism is not baptism. Any other baptism than the one baptism is foreign to the kingdom of God. Foreign to it. Verse 6, and one God and Father of all. See, we Baptists, we Landmark Baptists, we don't take up this position of denominationalism that it's okay, that it's right. Denominationalism is not of God. The Lord built one church. He built one. That's it. There's no other church but the church that He built. And I believe that's manifested this day as a Baptist church, standing for those Baptist distinctives and being motivated and settled and set in those Baptist distinctives. Those few Baptist distinctives, but they are distinctives. They're what our forefathers died for, that the religious world and the secular world didn't think was a big deal at all. What? You won't let us baptize your kid? Your baby? There were those, our Baptist forebears died because of that. Because they would not allow their children to be sprinkled or dunked by a Catholic priest. But see, salvation does not come through the waters of baptism. That's the reason they stood for it. And it is a Baptist distinctive. And it is a distinctive of the kingdom, isn't it? The Lord's kingdom. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But see, there are those that say, well, there's men on this earth who are above all. And we take our marching orders from. There's some organizations, that's what I'll call them, they get their directive from headquarters. And whatever it is that headquarters says, that's what they trust in. If you heard this here this morning and saved, you should understand, and I know you, I believe you would understand, that your salvation is between you and the Lord alone. No man should have entered into it at all. Amen. No man needed to confirm to you whether you were saved or not. It's the Spirit of God that puts in us and causes us to cry, Abba, Father. You don't need a man to confirm your salvation. That's not the way of the kingdom. There's one way. There's one way. And everything that is not of the way of the kingdom, the way of the Lord, by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, it belongs to that other way, that other kingdom that is against this one. The kingdom of the Lord is not divided. It's not divided. He goes here. He said there's one body, verse number 4, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. We believe that Jesus is coming again for His people, and we're going to live forever with Him. Amen. We're not going to usher anything into this old wretched, wicked world. You and I, we don't have the capacity to be able to do so. But our Lord will. From that great and wonderful city, Mount Zion, where He's chosen millennia ago to put His name, where He's purposed to place His name there. He's done it and He's going to do it, isn't He? And then we're going to be there with Him. One hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's the way of the kingdom. Some of our children were studying and some of their social studies about different religions. One of our children marveled by the Hindus, and by Hinduism, and in Hinduism that ultimately that what they seek to do is achieve nirvana, which is like a continual, eternal, perpetual nothingness. That's men in their own wisdom and in their own conceits. Who would want to be nothingness? That's that other kingdom. That's not the kingdom of the Lord. One God and Father of all, verse 6, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so on, and he tells there about what the Lord said and what he did. In John chapter 17, in this idea about the kingdom of the Lord, here the Lord speaks about Satan's kingdom, and it's just foolish for it to be divided against itself. The Lord's kingdom is not divided against itself, because you know what stands now, what will stand, it'll always be the truth. And that truth is established by the Lord. In John chapter 17, verse number 20. Listen here in the Lord's Prayer what he prays. John chapter 17, verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, the disciples there with him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that's us, that they might be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. In Ephesians, it talked to us about the unity in the Lord and the oneness of those things in the Lord. You know, the kingdom of the Lord is not divided. There is unity, and the desire of the Lord Jesus is that his children be gathered together in him. You know, those in eternity, those that will be there with the Lord, and however this works, even those that would be there that are saved today, and for some reason don't submit to baptism, don't join the Lord's church, and whatever those things work, and we know others that pursue other ways, but that we believe truly that they are saved. You know, in that day when we're there with the Lord, everybody's going to believe right about everything. It's going to be in unity, isn't it? All unified in Christ. All unified in him. Yet we live this life and on this earth with the truth of God's word before us, and the Lord has chosen that by preaching that men be called to truth, and men and women be called to truth. But the kingdom of the Lord is not divided, because the way of the Lord has been established and declared by him, and Satan's kingdom, it's not divided either, but and it stands against the kingdom of God. It won't succeed. But it is that case. And back in Matthew chapter 12, in verse number 27, he says, let's go ahead and take your position. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? There evidently had been some that had done so, but not as prolific as the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as many times, maybe not as thorough. Although if they had the power of God upon them, it would seem that it would be very thorough, if it being the prophet or the minister of the Lord that would did so. But none had ever cast out demons like the Lord Jesus Christ had. And remember the man that had the child that the demon would put him into the fire or put him into the water, always seeking seemingly to kill him, and the disciples couldn't cast him out as the Lord and Peter, James, and John came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and they're there with the disciples that remain, and the Lord says, what's going on? Well, what are you speaking to my disciples about? And then the Lord told them later on, said, this kind only cometh out by prayer and fasting. See, there was not one that stumped him, was there? There never was one. But he says, if your children cast out some demons, and I cast them out by Beelzebub, so much, and they do so little, is it that they're casting them out? And if that it being so that they did cast them out, which we believe it's so because the Lord said as much. How did they do so? By the power of the kingdom of God. Yeah. And then the Lord came and he cast them out and he manifested it even more so, didn't he? The kingdom of God's not divided. And the Lord cast out demons by his own power. Remember how it said over there in Luke, by the finger of God? If I cast out demons by the finger of God, not the hand, not the arm, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, no doubt the kingdom of God has come unto you. You know, you that are here and not saved, the word of God comes to you and it's come to you in the time of your life. And even here this morning, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And what the Lord declares is that you need to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to receive the Lord on his terms, his way, his word. Not doubting, not quarreling with the Lord, but believing. Believe what he says and trust in him. The kingdom of God has indeed come to you. Verse number 29, it goes on here in Matthew 12. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. This is a reference here, I believe, that when this demon is cast out, and I believe that when the Lord did cast out these demons, that he did save those people, because I don't believe those demons ever come back after he is has done so. Let's take a look over here. In Mark chapter 3, take a look over at this passage. In verse 29 of chapter 12, it says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. In Mark chapter 3, verse number 27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And then in Luke chapter 11, he even tells more in verse number 21. He says, and when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. How is it that the demon could be cast out? Only because the Lord Jesus Christ is stronger than all. That's the only way. The demon that had a hold of the man at Gadara, and where he ran through the tombs naked and cutting himself and just screaming and wailing and carrying on. It was just, his body was just beat up from that possession. Legion was the one that had gone into that. Did they look to give him up? Not until the strong man came. When the strong man came, they had no choice. They begged the Lord, a legion of demons, begged the Lord, don't cast us out into the deep, but let us please go into those swine. And the scripture says, if I'm not mistaken, then the Lord suffered them. He said, okay.
is of the devil. And that's blasphemy. Because what spirit was in and is in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Spirit of God. He said, if I by the finger of God cast out demons. It says over here, I believe it's in Mark, in verse number 30, in Mark chapter 3, it says, well, let's read this again, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, that's mankind, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. You can be saved from your sins, no matter how bad, no matter how treacherous. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Verse 30, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. And there's no unclean spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the manifestation of the Godhead bodily. He is the manifestation of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in the flesh, Jesus Christ. He is God revealed unto the world. He says, I and my Father are one. He is the Savior. He is the Son of Man. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he has the Spirit of God within him. Over here in Luke chapter 12, let's take a look over here. In Luke 12, just beyond the chapter passage that we're considering, the Lord deals with this again. Verse number 10 of Luke 12, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, this shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and into the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye ought to say. But blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, it isn't going to be forgiven. Attributing the work of God to Satan. You know, I don't know if this works the other way. I've kind of wondered about this. Is it blasphemy of the Holy Ghost to attribute the work of Satan to God? And we don't have scripture to tell that. But we do know that attributing the work of God to Satan is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may folks beware. You know, we've had a lot of bad things said about us, haven't we? And we don't need to go to the woe is me party. But those that attribute the work of God to the working of Satan, may they beware. May they beware. The words of the Lord are right here before us. And then it goes on here in Matthew chapter 12. He says this in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Was it good for this man to have this demon cast out of him? Was that good? Was that a blessing unto life? Was that a blessing unto betterment? Is it good to be possessed by one of the fallen angels that fell with Satan? Is that good? No, it's not, is it? And so the Lord did a good thing. He asked him on other occasions, is it good to heal on the Sabbath and to give life? Who would say no? Amen? Amen. And then so he healed, didn't he? He healed the man with the withered hand. He did that good work. And what that man was, rather than being bound by that, this man, rather than being bound by this demon, was set at liberty, set free. That's what the Lord does when he saves us, isn't it? He sets us free. And he says, if the fruit is good, it's got to be coming from a good tree. He says, make the tree and its fruit evil. Or understand that a good fruit comes from a good tree. It can't be. Sweet water doesn't come from a corrupt spring. How is it with our fruit? How is it with mine and your fruit? He goes on here in verse 34. O generation of snakes, you vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now he's taken this whole thing and he's turning it to inward. He's given everyone there consideration, and us this morning consideration. What's going on in your heart? What's going on inside of you and your soul? Old generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our mouth betrays us. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. They brought forth an evil accusation against the Lord, didn't they? He's healing a man, casting out a demon that has compromised him and bound him. And they say, that's the work of Satan. Why? Because their hearts were full of wickedness. What's our heart full of? What do we fill ourselves with? What is it that we have? He goes on to hear and says something else, and we're going to go back to this in verse number 35. But I say unto you, verse 36, that every idle word, I say some idle words from time to time. I speak with some idle words where there's no context. There's no connection. Idle words, words that are not true, maybe even false words. Every idle word, everything that you and I speak, it betrays our heart, and everything that we say that's idly, everything that we say that's not edifying, everything that we say that's not the truth, it's going to be brought into judgment. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. These men here that day have said some idle words, haven't they? They've said some vain words. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. He says, there in verse number 27, he says, about your children that cast out demons, they're going to be your judges. They're going to be your judges. May the Lord help us with our idle words. Over in Luke chapter 11, let's pick it up here in verse 24. Luke 11, 24. Aspects of the kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord is not divided against itself. The Lord, He is one, and we need to be hanging on every word he says and pursuing everything that he says to do. Satan is our enemy, and he is against the kingdom of the Lord. He will not be divided against himself. He is diabolic against everything that the Lord is for. The kingdom of God has indeed come to us by what the Lord has done. Jesus is the strong man. He's the one you need inside. And that's what he does when he saves. He comes in to live. No one else can enter. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit does not have forgiveness. Don't ever attribute the work of God to the work of Satan. Better to keep our mouths closed. And I believe it's a diabolical thing anyway. And the point is there with this unpardonable sin, it's not going to be committed by mistake. It's diabolic, as these did that day. And then this thing of the heart. The Lord says here, let me read it to you in Matthew 13. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 24, we see here the peril of an empty heart. Are you here and you're not saved? You have nothing within. It says in Timothy, in the epistles to Timothy, their first Timothy, I believe, that you are subject to be taken captive by Satan and used by him at his will. And we pray for you that that wouldn't be. And I'm not looking to scare you, but I'm just looking to tell you the truth about these things. And look at this. What do you have in your heart? Who do you have in your heart? In Luke chapter 11, verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. You know, salvation is not going to come by cleaning up your life. Right. Salvation is not going to come by idle words. Salvation is not going to come by some prayer. Okay? Salvation is going to come by the Lord. And what do you have within? Each one of us that are here this morning, each individual, what do you have within? If you're here, you're not saved, you've got an empty heart. If you're here and you claim to be saved, may claim to be a member of this church, but you don't have the Spirit of God living within, you don't have the peace of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ living within, you've got an empty heart. I don't want you to doubt. I'm not looking to make folks doubt, but what is it that you're trusting in? Who is it that you're trusting in? Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in any other thing but the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the strong man. We need the strong man living within. Because that's a fact of the kingdom. Salvation is by the Lord, through the Lord, and unto the Lord. Aspects of the kingdom. May the Lord help and bless. Someone that cleans up their life. It says there in that last passage I read there in Luke that it can be that the working of Satan within that life can go away for a time and clean up the life and everything, but without the strong man in the house, it can become even a bit worse. The second state of that man is worse than the first. Are you saying? You need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only one. We point you to the simple childlike faith, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, believing the gospel, may the Lord help and bless with His word.